You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. If you use hard plastics for just about anything, you've probably been exposed to the chemical BPA. It's in Tupperware, water coolers, some baby bottles. It can leach into foods. Almost all of us have some traceable amount of it in our bodies. And now the FDA is saying that it's dangerous, but not dangerous enough to ban it. Dangerous enough to try to reduce our exposure to it. But how do you do that when it's just about everywhere? And if it's such a problem, why did the FDA wait so long to warn us about it? Gardner Harris is a science correspondent for the New York Times. He's joining us by phone from Washington, D.C., has written about this. Welcome to the program.
Happy to be here, Ira.
What does the FDA say exactly about BPA?
Well, they're saying essentially that they don't know, but that they are worried. That there is enough evidence to suggest there may be a risk, but not enough evidence to prove that there is a risk. It's exactly where we are with any number of environmental possible toxins. And what's changed really is how the FDA deals with uncertainty, particularly under the Obama administration. But basically their message is, this is something that you might be concerned about, but we really don't know.
Mm-hmm. What does the chemical do? I mean, I said we have little traces of it in our body. Everybody has it in their bodies.
Right. It's all a little frightening because, of course, it's everywhere and in everyone and in things like breast milk and formula when you give your child formula. And, you know, I have two small boys myself, and my wife mostly breastfed them, but we also used formula on occasion, and, you know, we used plastic bottles to give it to them, and you just worry about it because BPA is what's called an endocrine disruptor, and that, you know, the body's endocrine system is this incredibly sensitive system that essentially, you know, determines much of who you are and how you develop, and this is the system that involves steroids. Steroids, not the kind that led Mark McGwire to hit 70 home runs, but steroids that, you know, develop that lead to the determination of sex, that help determine sort of when you get up in the morning, all those sorts of things, your biorhythms, and also, of course, you know, crucial developmental steps. And the worry about BPA is particularly that it sort of might disrupt the development of boys for some reason. And so even microscopic tiny amounts of this thing, there are worries that it could have some profound developmental effects. And so thus the worry about it.
Mm-hmm. The National Institutes of Health has studied this, has it not?
Yeah, it has. I mean, look, Ira, I mean, here's the problem with all of this stuff is that the science always gets really tough because you can't do the studies that you want to do, which is, you know, give a bunch of BPA to people and, you know, at various concentrations and figure out what happens to them. I mean, that would be wildly unethical. So you end up sort of trying to sift the tea leaves of epidemiology to sort of see what might have happened to people. I mean, to get some sense of how difficult this is, I mean, we still don't mercury in seafood, for instance, I mean, this is an issue that's been around for decades. Mercury is an obvious toxicant, toxic substance. Should we be worried about this? Well, you know, there are some really pretty good, two very good studies and two isolated island communities sort of looking at this that came to sort of entirely opposite conclusions. Thus, you know, the government kind of has these fitful announcements about whether you should or should not eat seafood and you know, when you're pregnant or not and how much you should eat. And, you know, these with mercury, it should be relatively straightforward. These are sort of significant amounts of mercury. Mercury is a toxic substance. Well, you know, imagine just how harder it is with BPA. The amounts are much smaller. BPA is not obviously like mercury as clearly toxic. So, you know, the likelihood is that we're going to be uncertain about the health effects of BPA for decades. And what's really changed now is that in the old days, the FDA, in the face of uncertainty, if there was not a clear risk associated with something, particularly in food, they said, don't worry about it. What's changed is that over the last couple of years, because the FDA has been burned about such issues as suicidality and antidepressants and this very popular diabetes drug Avandia, that people have really told the FDA, it's not good enough, you know, not to talk to us when you are somewhat worried about a risk, but you haven't come to a clear conclusion. You have to tell us when you're uncertain, when there might be a risk, but you don't know. And so that's what it's done in the case of BPA. They essentially have taken the exact same information that they looked at during the Bush administration, and the Obama administration had said, look, you know, the Bush administration said you shouldn't worry about it. We're looking at the same information and saying, actually, there might be a worry. We're not sure.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Alan in El Cerrito, California. Hi, Alan.
Hi there. Allow me to correct a misunderstanding, especially your comments about the hard plastics. BPA is polycarbonate building block. A proper manufacturer of polycarbonate should have minimal BPA. I'm not saying nothing, but it is not an ingredient, number one. Number two, most hard plastics, in fact, most any plastics, have nothing to do with that plastic. In specific, the beverage bottles, the water bottles, the Tupperware, the yogurt tubs, every one of those has nothing to do with BPA and BPA plastics. Get your science straight.
Gardner?
He's right. Of course, that there are certain plastics that do not have BPA in it. The ones to worry about are the plastics that on the bottom have the number 7 on them. They're hard.
No, 7 simply means not 1 to 6. 7 could be anything.
Well, this is what the FDA said, is to look for the plastics on the bottom that have the 7. And of course, BPA is also found in the linings of canned foods. It varies small
plastics. A can is a metal thing.
Right, but
I'm talking about plastics. Clear them. What are you fighting for?
Right.
Thanks, Alan.
But I'm sorry, but it is found in a lot of these canned goods. If for some reason in the lining of the can before they put the food in, again, a very small quantity of BPA gets included. So it is everywhere, and there are the FDA said is that try not to use very hot liquids in these plastics. Don't put plastics in the microwave. And, you know, because all of this tends to lead BPA to leach out of the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there are worries about obviously BPA's presence in some plastics and BPA's presence in a lot of canned foods.
But you can't throw out all your plastics, can you?
No, yeah. I think you have to be better about, you know, your use of plastics and how they are used. And obviously many manufacturers are transitioning away from plastics that have BPA that included in them to those that do not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a sort of a change going on now. And I think, you know, some of the people, like we have a columnist, Nick Kristof, who kind of went around and basically threw out all of his old plastics. And, you know, with the suggestion that as the concern about this mounts, manufacturers are going to do a much better job of ensuring that no BPA is in their plastics.
Well, you would think that just public discussion about it would have, you know, manufacturers saying, advertising, no BPA in our stuff.
Well,
without even the FDA, you know, having to ban it.
Well, yeah, that's exactly, obviously, what has happened. I mean, first of all, the first manufacturers to get the most concerned are the baby bottle manufacturers, and they are certainly starting to sort of reassure customers that there is no BPA in their plastic bottle. I think it's, you know, some water bottle companies, I think it is going to become a sort of a growing source of concern and a growing sort of part of marketing efforts. And I think that was the point of the FDA's announcement, really, was to kind of make this part of the conversation, even if they are uncertain about the science.
Mm-hmm. And you think it's being listened to?
The FDA gets listened to. I mean, you know, we put the story on our front page. it was the most emailed story for some time, which means that, you know, millions of people read that story. Other newspapers and media organizations had the same story. I think that there is, a sudden amount of interest in that.
How hard is it to just take it out? Why not just take it out?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know just how central it is to the manufacturing processes, but my guess is that it will get a lot less use.
Yeah. Are you going to be following the story? I mean, you...
Yes, sir. We'll have more stories on BPA.
And it's someone who has a couple of kids, right?
Absolutely.
You're worried about all those bottles and things.
It is one of those, you know, there are these occasional stories that my wife, you know, pesters me about a lot, and this is one of them. So if only so that I can have answers for her, we're going to keep following it.
And is the FDA going to wait for any more results before it makes further decisions, or is it just this is it, you think?
No. They've said that they're going to continue to look after this, and there are efforts also underway at the National Institutes of Health. I mean, this is a focus of some concern and of now some, you know, dedicated research from the federal government. Don't expect any solid answers, though. You know, just as we have trouble getting answers about basic, toxic substances in food and what their effect might be, like mercury, we're not going to have any solid answers, is my prediction on BPA for a long, long time.
It's expensive to do those tests, things like that.
Well, it's not. They're not sort of direct studies like you get in the clinical trials. It's mostly sort of backward-looking stuff. But it's not cheap.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Take care.
Thanks, Gardner. Thank you. Gardner Harris is a science correspondent for The New York Times. He was talking to us by phone from Washington. You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News.